Good evening. It's good to be with you. I invite you all to take your Bibles and follow along as we study from God's Word this evening. Hopefully the study will be profitable for all of us, and we'll be better served by being here this evening. We just sang a song that says, "When we all get to heaven." And I don't think any of us can make a statement that would happen, unfortunately. Things can happen between now and when judgment happens or when we die that would prevent that. So I'm not going to try to name by names who I expect to be there. But I do say that there is one particular group and there's one particular characteristic that you're going to have if you're going to be there. And I'll mention that in just a moment. But when we're talking with people about serving God, about what it takes to serve God faithfully, about what it means to be a Christian, about, as they would see, what denomination to be a part of, or if it matters what denomination you're a part of. Sometimes we get to a discussion, and an accusation is made that you just think that you're better than everyone else, or you just think you're so good. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I hope that's not the case. If it is the case, then we're wrong. If we have an attitude that we are better than people for whatever reason, then that is wrong. But how would you answer that question if someone made the accusation that, you know, you just think that you're good. You're just so good. Maybe we could answer it as Jesus answered it in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." So, I'm saying that we're not expected to be good in the way that they're talking about there. Good enough to get to heaven? That's not what we're talking about. We can't earn heaven. We can't be good enough to earn heaven. But the category that I was talking about, and the way that we should be, as we think about when we all get to heaven, all those who get to heaven will be in the category that we're going to talk about this evening. All those who are God's children, who are rewarded with final salvation in heaven after this world ends, are holy. We have to be holy. We're not good in the way that's talked about there. We can't be good in that way, but we can be holy. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening. We're going to talk about what it means for you and I to be holy. What it means for you and I to be considered to be holy in God's sight. And so we're going to talk about the definition of what holiness is, and then how we can be holy, and how it's exemplified in our lives, and exactly what it takes for you and I to get there. So let's just begin with that simple concept. What is holy? What does it mean to be holy? Well, the first thing that I would set forth for you is that being holy is not synonymous with being sinlessly perfect. That is not what a biblical definition of holiness is about. Because if that were the case, then none of us would ever be considered to be holy. Yet, God speaks of His children. God speaks of His followers as being holy. So if it's not the sinless perfection that accusation that people make against us sometimes is, then what is biblical holiness? Well, if you've studied much at all, if you've looked around at all, you know these definitions that I'm about to give you. Holiness, or being holy, means that you are set apart. It means that you're separated to God. It means that you're sanctified, you're consecrated to God. So in the Old Testament, when He tells the children of Israel, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," it means that we are called into something that God wants us to be. We're set apart. We're special. Christians are special. And it's not just that "be ye holy, for I am holy" is not just to the children of Israel. Be ye holy for I am holy is for God's children all the time. Now, it just happened to be at that time that it was the nation of Israel that was being spoken about. But it applies to us today. So we need to view ourselves as separated to God. We need to view ourselves as sanctified. We need to view ourselves as consecrated. That's what it means for us to be holy or be considered holy. But particularly, let's talk about now, if that's the definition, if that's a biblical concept for what holiness is, then what does it mean to you and me on an individual basis? How does that happen, or how is it applied to you and me in our individual lives? Turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, to the passage that Stone read for us this evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as the Holy Spirit is directing Paul to pin these words to the church at Thessalonica, he's encouraging them to remain faithful, or maybe to stand fast in what they've been called to. And in verse 13, we hear these words, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." So the first thing that we understand is that being holy means that we are chosen for salvation. And without preaching the entire lesson about what biblical predestination is about, we need to understand that God chose people to be holy. God chose people to be saved. He chose a group of people, those who would, as we read in Matthew 19, verse 17, those who would obey Him or would keep His commandments, who would conform themselves to His will, were chosen for salvation. Now, if you remember, I'm not going to continue to read, but Stone read a couple other verses there. It talked about how we get into that position. It's the impact or the effect of the gospel on us that puts us in that position. So if someone questions whether or not the Bible teaches predestination, yes, it does. But it doesn't teach the erroneous Calvinist view of what predestination is. So we need to understand that being holy means that we are called by God. We are chosen by God, for salvation. Now, I am going to use called back in the first book of to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 uses that phrase. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. Doesn't get any plainer than this as it relates to our topic tonight. Here we read, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." So now we see a opposite of what holiness is. Holiness, as we've read, is consecrated. It's set apart. It's sanctified to God. Unclean is the opposite of that. If something is unclean, then it's not holy. It's not consecrated. It's not sanctified. We don't want to be in the unclean category. God has called us to be holy. That's what it means for you and me. Now, finally, if that's the case, if God has chosen His people to have salvation, if He's chosen His people and called them through the gospel to holiness, then what does it say for you and me about how we need to conduct ourselves? Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, specifically verse 14, is where we'll get the answer to this question. You know, this chapter begins with a continuing thought of what had been presented in chapter 11 regarding those who are the heroes of faith from the Old Testament. And then we read in chapter 12, verse 1, where it talks about, therefore, if we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, well, what's that mean for you and me? And so that's the context that we get down to when we look at that. Okay, if that's the case, then what do I need to be doing? Well, one of the things that we need to be doing to make sure that we are living up to the expectations of what the Lord would have us to do is given to us in verse 14. but pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Which goes back to the comments I had at the beginning. When we all get to heaven, those who get to heaven have to be holy, or else you will not see the Lord. We have to be holy if we expect to see the Lord. So my question for you is this then. If we're called by God to holiness, if we're chosen to be holy and to receive salvation, if we're to pursue it, then is holiness obtainable for you and me in this life? Shake your head this way. It is. God would not call us, would not choose us, and would not tell us to pursue something that is not attainable. God wants us to be holy. So that's really a large chunk of the rest of the lesson, is how we attain holiness. How do we get there? If we're supposed to be that way, if we're supposed to be not unclean and holy, then how do you and I work to attain holiness each day that we walk? Well, first of all, and I've kind of given it away in that phrase that I just used, holiness is not a one-shot deal. Holiness is not an inoculation that you get and you don't ever have to have any booster shots anymore. Holiness is not something that happens to you. It's something that you continue in. So it's not a one-shot situation. Holiness is a daily journey. It's a daily travel that you and I need to be on. It's a road that we need to be on. But really that road begins when we get into a situation where God can have fellowship with us. And God, as we know, God cannot have fellowship with that which is unclean. God cannot have anything to do with sin. And so only when we have our sins forgiven and washed away, when we become Christians, can we be considered holy. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, a passage that most of us have known from very young in our lives. Jesus is speaking there at the end of Mark, and he says that he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe, or he who does not believe, will be condemned. So if we want to be saved, if we want to take advantage of that call to salvation, then we have to become a Christian. And we're added to the church. We become Christians when we are baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 22, verse 16 is the account, the retelling by Paul of his conversion account. And Acts, the 22nd chapter, and verse 16, he makes this statement about what he was told. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul, as we know, saw the Lord on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. He was taken into Damascus. Ananias was sent by the Lord to speak to him. And these are the words that Ananias said. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So that is the beginning point that we all must get to. That's the beginning of our journey. That's the beginning of our walk with Christ. There's no way possible for us who are accountable to God to be considered holy prior to being added to His kingdom. But that's only the beginning point. Then what? From that point on, are we holy? Are we holy automatically? Well, if that was the case, then much of the Old Testament kind of leads us in the wrong direction, because God's people were His people, and yet they continued to go into sin. They continued to struggle with temptations, particularly idolatry. We've been studying about Jeremiah and the terrible condition that the children of Israel had gotten into by that time in history. So no, it's not a one-time deal. It's not something that we can count on attaining and maintaining. I guess that's the main point that I have here. Shouldn't be how do you attain holiness. It should be how do you attain and maintain holiness. We attain holiness by being a servant of God, and that begins with our obedience and baptism. But we need to continue on to grow in that, and we need God's help to do that. If we're going to continue in holiness, we're going to have God's help. Turn back with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you will, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this time. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 this time, verses 11 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Look for a couple of things here that it says that the Lord will do for us in these verses. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. If we want to continue in holiness, if we want to maintain our holiness, then we're going to need God's help. And the one thing that we need assistance from Him in directing our way. Paul is talking here and he asked for God's guidance to direct their way. We need to ask for God's help. We need to ask every day for God's help to maintain our holiness. We need those directions. We can't direct our own ways, as the prophets tell us. We may think we know what's right. We may think we know the best way. After all, who knows the best for me than Stan Hammons? Stan Hammons knows the best, right? For Stan Hammons. Ask Melissa, she'll tell you that's not the case. We need the Lord's help to direct us. And then the other word there that I picked out in verse 13 is it says that so that He may establish our hearts blameless, or it says your hearts there, but as it applies to us, the Lord will help us by directing us and establishing us if we seek His assistance. If we go through life with the attitude that I don't need His help, that I'm good, that my friends or my family or even my preacher or my elders can tell me all that I need to know, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. Because our friends will disappoint us and be wrong. Sometimes people will purposely lead us in the wrong direction. Even those who we might respect the most among men fall and turn away. And so if we want to be directed and established in holiness, then we've got to seek the source of holiness, and that's God. But it's a process. It's a process that's an ongoing, everyday situation. Still in Thessalonians, but back in the second book now. This is chapter 1 this time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says this. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Our holiness is related to our faith. And as our faith grows and we become more mature, then we are better at maintaining our holiness. We shouldn't struggle with the same things every day of our lives. There should be a growth process. I'm not saying that there aren't certain temptations that we all might have over an extended period of time. But if we continually deal with that in the same way and there's no growth that happens in dealing with that, then we need to examine whether or not we're being directed or whether we're seeking God's direction and we're being established in Him. Are we relying on our own selves? We need to grow and we need God's help in that growth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, an often quoted passage, a commandment about what we have to do. As Peter is finishing this epistle, the last verse says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can also say grow in holiness. Maintain your holiness would apply to that passage as well. So if we are going to continue to be holy, we need God's help to do it, but we've got to put in the work and the effort to grow as we should. We've got to be constantly pushing and striving to be that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our holiness needs to be perfected. It needs to be something that we're constantly striving to get better at. I'm going to tell myself here. My methodology for success in school, at least after I've got out of high school anyway, was this. Maximum effort. Maximum effort up until I knew what my grades were, and then I would back off the pedal some. I call it a cost-benefit analysis. If I don't have to have an A on that final, I'm not going to put the effort in to get an A on that final. So I coasted a little bit at the end. When we're talking about holiness, folks, there's no coasting. There's no standing on your laurels. There's no thinking that, well, my score is good enough now, I can let off. It almost caught me this last time because I had a professor that we had two grade assignments and I didn't know the grades to any of them until the whole course was over. So it almost caught me this last time. But we will get caught in the end if we don't strive, as we see there, stretching on to perfection, to perfect our holiness. We need to work every day to strive every day to be holy. And it's difficult sometimes. We're surrounded by a world that doesn't value holiness. We're surrounded by a world that makes fun of God and makes fun of the concept of respecting those things that are related to God. We see God used as a byword, or we hear God used as a byword. We see God depicted in ways that are counter to what God is. Even by those in the, especially by those in the religious world. Let me put it that way. So we've got to value holiness to the point that we strive every day to get better at it. One of the things that we do is that we add certain things to our lives as we mature. Back in 2 Peter chapter 1 this time, I'm going to get down to verse 5 in just a minute, but let's read verses 3 and 4 first. Back up to verse 2, if you will, to get the entire thought. These introductory remarks by Paul beginning in verse 2. Grace and peace, by Peter beginning in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. To me, verses 3 and 4 are synthesized. Means that God has made it possible for you and me to be holy. And there's a lot of good things that come by being holy as God is holy. But how do we get there? It says that we've been given these great and precious promises and we can become partakers of His nature. We can be holy. We can't be divine, but we can be holy. How do we do that? Pick up in verse 5. But also for this very reason, okay, all these great things that you're told about being holy, it should lead you to do things. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have promises. We have blessings that come through God. We have to be holy to access those. Not perfect, but sanctified and consecrated and called out for that purpose. And the way that we maintain that holiness is by adding to our faith these things that we see there. And y'all, it's not a checklist. Oh, I was holy today. I had faith today and I had self-control today. No, it's an ongoing, everyday situation that we have to be focused on. And the great thing about these fruits of the Spirit or the things that we see presented here as far as it will help us grow, is that it doesn't just help us in one area of our lives. It helps us as we live our everyday lives with our family. It helps us at work. It helps us when we go on the ball fields of play. It helps us to teach others. It helps us on the job. It helps us in all our relationships. Being holy is a good thing. God wants us to be holy because it helps us in all these ways. Romans has a few of these that I want to look at. Romans 15, beginning in Romans 15, verse 2, to begin with, is the first passage, and then we'll back up to a couple of chapters to chapter 13. When it talks about what will happen and what our holiness will do in our lives, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Our lives will be affected to the point that we will look out for the good of other people. Chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. This paragraph in my Bible is entitled, Love Your Neighbor, and it says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet it. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And then finally in Galatians on this point, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. We're simply instructed there, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Being holy and striving in that growth process that we go through will be exemplified in how we interact in all those ways that I just talked about. And people don't always make it easy. And the situation doesn't always make it easy. But that doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to make sure that we maintain our holiness. But another aspect of that that I think we need to look at before we close is the fact that a big part of being holy, I think, can be summed up in the fact that we have to make sure that our priorities are right. Because as we said, we're in the world. Jesus said that you're in the world. I can't take you out of the world. You're not of the world, but you're in the world. We're in the world. That means we've got to make sure that our priorities are right. Make sure that we're focused on the correct things. That's the only way that we can maintain our holiness. Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 23. Matthew 23:23, Jesus is speaking here. And he's pronouncing woes. And one of the woes is in verse 23 when he says this, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. The reason I read that verse is that sometimes there are things that have higher priorities, the weightier things. They have higher priorities, and we need to focus on those things to make sure that that's the highest priority. Holiness and being holy requires us to focus on the right thing, but it also requires us to have some perseverance and some endurance. I've already alluded to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I didn't read that passage, though, so let's go back and read the words of the author there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. What does it say that you need to do? How do you need to run the race in Hebrews 12, verse 1? Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So our holiness and our priorities mean that we aren't encumbered by the things of this world. And I'm really talking here more about the things of this world that aren't sinful in and of themselves, but that can hold us back nonetheless. Our jobs. Our education. Ours and our family, our children, especially those of us who are parents, our children's extracurricular activities. Recreation. All those things that in and of themselves are fine, and the writer of Proverbs will tell you that you should enjoy them. But they can be, what does it say there? A snare. They can be a hindrance to us. We've got to make sure that we don't let that happen, or our holiness will be affected. We've got to realize that all those the areas of our lives, it's not a matter of, and I think I've probably talked about this before, it's not a matter of giving God the biggest piece of our pie as far as our time goes. It's a matter of giving God the priority in every part of our lives, whether it's work. Why am I working? Well, I work because I like a job. I work when I make money, but it says do it to the Lord. I need to be working for the glory of God. My family and my relationships and my classmates and everybody that I come in contact with needs to know that the priority in my life is God and serving Him and glorifying Him. That will exude holiness. Finally, if we do that, if we understand what holiness is, if we seek to attain it through obedience to God becoming a Christian and then working to maintain that, what's going to be the result? Where is it going to get us? Well, we've already said it, we don't earn anything through it. But what has God told us about seeking these things, doing these things? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 2 Peter 1 verse 10. We left off in verse 8. But we're going to pick up the thought in verse 10 when he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Attaining and maintaining holiness means that we are strengthened spiritually. Remember before at the beginning of the lesson, we had the contrast between being called to holiness, not called to uncleanness. And we talked about the blessings that come with holiness. Well, as God always presents, if there's blessings with one situation, there are cursings or consequences with the other. So another great thing that happens by maintaining holiness is that we escape the consequences of being unholy and unclean. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 paints a not pleasant picture of those who would not be holy, those who would be considered unclean. Verse 8 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the context of our lesson tonight, taking vengeance on the unholy. So if we are holy, we grow spiritually, we escape the consequences of being unholy. Ultimately, we enter into the kingdom, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. And then finally, the ultimate blessing of attaining and maintaining holiness is Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Once again, my Bible has it divided into paragraphs, and this paragraph is titled "From Slaves of Sin to Slaves of God." And verse 22 says this, "But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life." The direct link between holiness and everlasting life. That's why I said, when we all get to heaven, only applies to those who are holy. Not that we can be holy ourselves, not that we can of ourselves do it, but we're holy because God makes us holy because He's called us to holiness through Christ, through the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 as we conclude the lesson. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15, a verse that I almost did a lesson on this evening, but decided to go this way instead. But that verse basically, to me, tells us what our responsibility is as a Christian, kind of a one-sentence synthesis of what we need to be doing as Christians. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. So that tells us that we need to be able to answer people. And being prepared to do that is really what being holy is all about. If we're holy, we understand that we're sanctified because we sanctify God in our hearts. We understand that we have a reason to hope and that we look beyond this life. So we need to be holy if we want to be able to do that. We don't need to strive, and we never need to give the impression that we have, and I don't think you know what's coming, some of you may have been thinking about this, holier than thou attitude. We don't ever need to be holier than thou. But we do need to be holy. Leviticus 11, verse 44, will be the final passage for the evening. Leviticus 11, verse 44. Here, God speaking says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping things that creep on the earth." God is still God. God is still our Father. God has provided our salvation through His Son. God has delivered us from sin and has called us through the gospel that was delivered through the Holy Spirit. We're called to holiness. We need to be holy. As I said, if you're not a Christian, you haven't begun or you haven't attained to the level that God can have anything to do with you. You need to be a Christian. But being a Christian doesn't guarantee that you're walking in holiness as God would have you to. If you are not, you have an opportunity this evening to correct that. So if you need to become a Christian to begin your walk with God, or if you need to correct your walk with God, we ask that you come. All together we stand and sing.